And there we go. And this one is just for you, Mr. Modlin.
How's it, internet? And welcome back to Two Guys in SharePoint with, I might add, our intro music. Man, that's a banger.
Yes, it is back. Rod found it. Hold on, I need to finish the intro, right? I can't just go straight into that. The only SharePoint show in South Africa. Do we still say in South Africa? I never know. This is a global show, right? Where everything is not made up and there are no.
Oh, I'm so happy to have that tune back. Dig it.
The audio, the podcast listeners will you know, have that friendly reminder, and we'll have an outro at the end of the show, and this will bring back the warmness of Two Guys in SharePoint. And Rod, where did you find that? Where did you find those tracks?
It's free music online somewhere. Back in the day, I spent quite a lot of time.
No, where did you find it now?
Where did I find it now?
It was
on the third hard drive I checked. So okay. I did have a backup. Always have a backup.
We now have it in the cloud, so it's with us forever.
Yay.
All right. Fantastic. Well, if you are new to the show, we talk about all things Microsoft 365 with a quiet, and I said this the last time, with a quiet love for SharePoint, hence the name, right? It's in the name. We promise to make sure that you take away at least one thing, just one thing. And we think that it's pretty cool in every show. So we guarantee, this is a Two Guys in SharePoint guarantee, that at least one thing you see or hear today is something that's going to not change your life. I think that's a bit,
that's
a bit expressive. Add value to your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Yeah. I mean, we work in IT. We should know better than to give guarantees, but there we go.
So Modlin, do we introduce a new segment where you come up with, you know, sometimes I tried this with the kids at the dining room table where I said to them, tell me what you're grateful for. It lasted for about a month, and then everyone gave up. So do we do a thing like that here where we say what we're grateful for or what happened to you in the last sort of fortnight, and that was expressive, or do we just hit the segments, right?
We can try that if you like.
What happened in your life the last week, 2 weeks?
That I'm grateful for is the big thing there. I'm grateful I've got a new project. It's quite a cool project. I get to build some Power Apps and Power Automate stuff, and I'm going to be fully allocated for the next few months, which is what we all want.
I don't want that. It's
better than sitting on the bench, bro. It's better than sitting on the bench.
I want retirement money. I want retirement money where I don't have to think about anything, but yeah, you know, just making sure that interest is working, right?
What you want is FU money, because that's another step beyond that, right?
Look,
somebody can come up to you and offer you anything you want, and you can just tell them to go take a hike. Like, very few people get that, right? That's, yeah.
I don't know what that looks like, right? And we talk about retirement money, and that's another tier, right? When you're able to book business class flights for you and your family to the Maldives for 2 weeks, and you know, you don't think about it, or maybe someone else does the booking on your behalf because you have a personal assistant.
Yeah, I got kids, man. I'm gonna be working till I'm 103. Anyway, what are you grateful for, Mr. Pugin, since you started this?
Gratitude. I'm grateful that I get to jump on a plane on Friday and head to the furthest point that I've ever traveled to, the most further, what do you call that?
Most furtherester.
The furtherest place I've ever been to, which is Christchurch. Notice, I'm not even going to the North Island. I'm going to Christchurch, the South Island, the furthest point known to man from where I am right now.
So the guy who's going the furtherestest is going there to talk to people using words like furtherestest.
Well, look, English is my first language, right?
It's my talking goddamn language.
Right. That's what English is dead, if memory serves. Anyhow, moving on, because we're burning daylight.
Yes. And let's
continue to ramble on incoherently. And we didn't even have our deep dive. So we promised that we do have a deep dive, which was last week's deep dive, last 2 weeks ago's deep dive, merged into this week's deep dive. And now it's a the bombulation thing. Modlin, what's that? Combobulated? You would know that word.
I would say combination, but let's put that to one side.
Let's go with that.
And get into In the News.
I love it when you say it. Works out better, right? All right, so what do we have in the news for today?
Cool. So first up, there's a Microsoft Teams Premium adoption journey helper bit
thing,
right? To help you explore everything that you would get in Teams Premium, which is Teams with all the AI bells and whistles, largely.
Do we actually say that? Because Teams Premium, and this is a debate, and I'd love for our listeners, well, our viewers, because they've got the option to comment, right, to talk about this. Now, there's an adoption pack, an adoption strategy, an adoption guide, an adoption journey for Teams Premium. And Teams Premium's been around for quite some time now, less than a year, I think, but more than 6 months, which you can't say for Copart. Right? And the first item that they say what's included in Teams Premium is the subject of contention. And the jury is still out on this. Intelligent meeting recap. So my understanding, and it was words, might have been phrases, it might have even been sentences on Twitter, that we were talking about intelligent meeting recap. So this is the intelligent meeting recap feature inside of Teams Premium, not to be confused with the meeting recap feature inside of Meetings Copilot. That does either the same or similar things. We don't know. We'd love for you to tell us where we got it right and where we got it wrong. And then a whole bunch of other things, right? Now, something's important to note, right? When they talk about advanced protection, watermarks and sensitivity labels, you get that as part of Purview. But to have the Purview-ness inside of the Teams-ness, inside of a Teams-ness meeting-ness, that's the only way, by buying Teams Premium. And then advanced webinar and advanced town hall, right? And this is for the big corps, right? That's got 20, 30, 100,000 people. Then this makes sense.
And, and is using Teams to run those sort of engagements, right?
Well, town halls is a thing, use right? case. Yeah.
Yeah,
so anything over 10,000, I think it's 10,000 people. So there's an adoption journey for this. And what's nice about it, like with all the adoption.microsoft.com stuff, is it's a how-to guide. And we've always asked for it because there's technical stuff, but this focuses more on the adoption of the technology, not from an admin perspective, but more from an end-user perspective. And that's massively valuable for organizations. And I'm very glad that they've actually got an adoption pack journey strategy slash whatever you want to call it here. It's available for Teams Premium. So for those that want to adopt Teams Premium, it's definitely something to look at.
Yeah, if that is work that you're doing, then it is an awesome, awesome resource. Yeah. So also, Microsoft have announced that they're going to make a unified Teams client on Windows and Mac. So we're getting new Teams.
Well, is it Microsoft? I can't find this except Paul has mentioned it.
So Paul Theroux broke it, right? So he broke the story as he does, because that's who he is. So he's heard it on the grapevine that Microsoft are doing this. There's no real detail. Microsoft haven't done an announcement, right? It came up on a roadmap.
Ooh, there's a future ID.
Yeah. So it came up on a roadmap, right? And that's how we know it's happening. But Microsoft haven't done a real announcement about it, so we don't have any detail whatsoever. So we're getting a new Teams. It'll be nice to have parity across them.
Another
hopefully
one.
The new one feels...
DJ Khaled! Another one. We need another that video. One. Another one. Look, as a hybrid user, a hybrid desktop user, you know, switching from Mac to Windows and back to Mac again, I am all for this, right? Because I want this. Because, you know, every third day there's an update and the feature parity between updates on T2 is not there. And then you jump into a meeting and everything's moved. And then you're like, is this Mac or is this Windows? What am I getting on the day, right? It's like Teams roulette, right? What update am I getting today for what client on what OS, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's great for those people who need to make their life more difficult. Moving swiftly along.
How is that making, you know, a life more difficult? I don't understand.
You got to use this platform half the time and that platform the other half the time. And then you want to access all your stuff on an iPhone. And why doesn't my app work on my Apple Watch? Like, just use a real PC and all of these issues go away. But that's fine. You want the pretty. That is very pretty. Wonderful. So yeah, that's a thing. Coming maybe when it actually comes out and we get some detail, we'll chat about it. Moving swiftly along, some Power Platform news. To put Al to sleep quickly. There is a preview feature in the Power Platform now for you to block unmanaged customizations in an environment. So if you have a prod environment and you want it to actually be a prod environment and you don't want people making changes in production, you can turn this on and no unmanaged customizations will run in that environment. So if you want to update it, you've got to export it as a managed solution and re-import it. So enforcing managed solutions in an environment is
modeling.
Super interesting. Kind of
modeling.
Kind of makes me nervous, but it's great. Yeah.
You've seen the editorial calendar for the next 10 shows, right?
I have.
Yes. So one of those shows we will have, and what is it called? Because Power Apps and Automate is a thing. That was the title I gave it, right? And
yeah, we'll have I saw the title.
Yes. So shouldn't you have kept this Power Platform update that three of the 3,000 people that listen to our podcast over the last 10 years is actually interested in? I even gave you your own episode to talk about
yourself. Yeah, in like 6 months' time.
It's in the sixth month. That's only 4 months away.
Cool. I will also just point out that you have spent more time complaining about this piece of news than I spent talking about the piece of news. So do with that what you will.
Okay. So for those that listen, this is in the news and there's no news outside of what we just talked. Literally, scoured the internet for 7 minutes to bring you this information. But it's been a slow 2 weeks, right? We had the bumper edition at the end of the month. And when do we record the next one? If I go to the editorial calendar, it will be the fifth. I'm reading it like I'm reading American numbers, the fifth of
March.
Wow. March, Modlin. March. It's almost March. The next episode will be recorded on the 5th of March. Right. And we will be talking about everything Copilot. We've got some cool guests on the show for that episode. Episode 76. All right. So because we have all the time in the world, we are going into the next segment.
Yeah, and for our deep dive, that's a very cool intro. For our deep dive, this episode, we wanted to talk about effective communication in O365, right? Because it can be confusing for businesses, right? I want to communicate with O365. What do I use? And there are, we've all seen the periodic table of O365. There's 100,000 different things in it, and there's a lot of really powerful pieces of technology, but what do you use when and how do you use it, right, is often a question that comes up. And some of that is largely up to maturity, right? What does the business look like and how are they used to doing things? But we thought we'd take a bit of time and talk about the different avenues for communication in O365 and sort of where we see them fitting in, right? That's the idea, Al.
I'm just pulling up. That is the idea. I'm just pulling up the periodic table. So one thing I did forget, right, to bring up. Can I do a full screen? What is it with these ads? There it goes. Open full screen. Okay. So 2 weeks ago, we wanted to do a deep dive around Aviva Engage Learning and Amplify, right? I mean, that was the promise of the deep dive, you know, our thoughts on that. And that kind of morphed into what today's topic is really about, because there's elements of Viva that's now come into the fore and matured that's going to provide you with a mechanism to effectively communicate inside of your organization, right? But because Matt Wade, and this was, does it do anything? Oh, I've got to add it back. Matt Wade did this, right? He did this ages ago, right? This last update to this was, I think it said November 2022. And most of these things are still relevant, right? And it's actually, it must have been updated after that because it's got Copilot in it as well. But this still rings true today. Loops in there, all the Viva platforms are in there, all the Viva functionality is in there. But when customers embark on this Office 365, I don't want to confuse it with Microsoft 365, because this focuses squarely on Office 365. If it had Windows and Intune in there and some of the security stuff, it would be, you know, Microsoft 365, even though Microsoft rebranded everything. Yeah. So when we look at effective collaboration and or effective communication and collaboration inside of the organization, and Matt was always a big supporter of when to use what, right? And we've seen this. We've seen people create infographics around this. We've seen people create white papers. We've seen people write how-to guides and blogs and all of this, because that's the stack. That is the stack that you're actually working with, right? That is the stack when you decide to move. And as much as we think everyone's in the cloud, no. When people say they have Office 365, chances are they've got mail in the cloud and Teams. That's it. File share 72.0, whatever that is, still sits in the building. They still have a legacy ECM system and they still have legacy apps that kind of do collaboration, right? But in today's modern world, we've actually got a customer that is, they're starting a new business inside of the original organization, but they need net new everything, right? So this is what they're going to walk into on day one, right? They'll have a mailbox and they'll have mail, and the rest needs to be built out, right? So what does that world look like? And even for people that haven't moved, people that are living inside a Dropbox or Box or Google Drive,
whatever, right,
that's not using the entire ecosystem, where do they start? So for me, it's always been about SharePoint. I mean, both of us, right? You know, before, in the beginning, there was SharePoint, right? WSS. That's where it started, right? This GUI-based interface for file storage, right? And not so much file sharing back in the day, but I mean, same, right? So where does that leave customers today when they look at this and they go, well, they've got Engage, right? They've got SharePoint, they've got Loop, because Loop is now the next Notion killer, right? And a whole bunch of other things that sort of, you know, are complementary, add additional functionality. You spoke about, you know, Power Platform. You know, we talk about business process management, not BPA. You know, I'm talking about, you know, back in my days in Rhodesia. This is what you're left with. So I've got three areas I really want to focus on. Well, we want to talk about Teams, we want to talk about SharePoint, and we want to talk about some of the modules inside of Viva. So yeah. Teams, what?
Yeah, Teams is for your communication and unstructured data, right? That's the promise, right? That's the basic idea. That's what the Teams platform does well in and of itself. But Teams is also, I think, it's what Microsoft wants, and I think it works pretty well once you add the other stuff in, as a gateway to everything else that you're doing, right? So you can embed your SharePoint pages and your SharePoint homepage in people's Teams experiences, give them insights into that, right? There's a lot of Viva stuff you can put in there. It's not Teams itself, right? But Teams gives you a portal into the other things. The stuff that Teams does is communication and unmanaged documents.
So what Microsoft tried to do with Windows 8, right? When they launched Windows 8, they had this Metro interface, style thing, pretty cool. I mean, Rod, when we worked together back then, we wanted to do things with the student, the classroom stuff that was available inside of Windows 8. So cool. We saw products like LiveTiles come to the fore. I've worked for companies that have built intranets for large organizations using the tiled interface with notifications, right?
That's a cool interface. Like I don't know how well it works for like a corporate intranet or whatever, but for a mobile device interface, I think that was absolutely the best, right? The Windows phone interface was perfect for that form factor. I don't know that it translates to something like an intranet.
The organization, an insurance company, actually won awards for that build back in, I think it was 2012 or something.
It's very cool. It's very, very cool. But, and it looks sweet.
Yeah. So coming back like to that tiled interface.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know, looking at what Microsoft wanted to do with Windows 8, you know, they said that you'd have the same experience on Xbox. You still have tiles on Xbox, a little bit changed, but, you know, it was that Windows Mobile, Windows Desktop, Xbox. Same interface. They didn't get it right. However, launching Teams and what they wanted to do with Teams was quite interesting. It's your gateway into, they call it the hub for teamwork. And that's what it started out as, right? The morph from Skype into this chat-based information management platform. And they stuck SharePoint on the back end, right, for content management. But it became a lot more than that. It's literally the default app into Microsoft 365. Because all these products are now being surfaced inside of Teams. They've still got some ways to go with some of the products, right? Like Stream's gone. Lists is not directly there. It's not an app. But if you look at how they built out the Viva stack, they all Teams apps, right? They all Teams apps.
That's sort of the glue, like all the stuff they've branded as Viva, right? A lot of that is the glue that brings all the other stuff in O365 into Teams.
Yes and no, right? I mean, Teams is slowly becoming more than just this one-on-one, one-to-many chat thing, right? That Skype was, you know, and Link was in the old days, right? But it's evolved, right? And for me, when I look at Teams, I see Teams as this collaboration platform where we're collaborating around work objects. It might be a spreadsheet, it might be a PowerPoint presentation, it might be a Word document, but we're collaborating, we're working together, real-time co-authoring, all of those cool things, and we can have a meeting about a document, and we do it that way. And I think
all the unmanaged data.
Well,
the unmanaged.
Yeah, to a certain degree. But it's two things, right? It's that collaboration fact, a function, right? That layer. But at this, on top of that, it's also your interface into all things Microsoft 365. So when customers say when to use what, I would like to position with the audience that there's two parts to Teams. There's the glue, where you can surface all of the M365 apps. And then secondly, it's a collaborative ecosystem where you can collaborate around document creation and review.
Yeah. A lot of it is also, when we're talking about the communication, right? Because we're talking about effective communication, a lot of it is which side of that communication you're on, right? So as a producer of information, you've got a lot of options on how you're going to produce that, right? You can make a Teams news story. You could make a Viva post. You could send emails. You could do Teams message. Like, there's a bunch of different ways that you can communicate that. And it's a decision on, like, which thing best serves that content. But as a consumer of that information, you kind of don't care, right? The idea is it all comes to you, right? You get a Teams notification. You've got the app there that tells you, like, here it is, right? I open up Teams. I've got the SharePoint homepage as a tab in my Teams. So I can see the latest news and all of that information. So as a consumer, I don't think the consumer of the content needs to be as selective of, like, oh, which communication method must I use, right? They're like, I'm here and the information comes to me because I'm already in Teams. So that's all presented to me.
You know, there's one thing we haven't added yet and we completely forgotten. That's Outlook. But we'll get to
it. I was going to bring it up, but, like, I kind of want people to just stop using Outlook. It kind of sucks.
You can't say that on live TV.
No. Like, I will use email for some things. It is very useful. Right, for official communication and that sort of stuff, it's great. Like, it definitely has a place. But 99% of the communication that we do should not be an email, right? It's kind of pointless.
You're going to rub people the wrong way.
Yeah, rubbing
people the wrong way. Moving on from Teams, because we kind of have established what Teams' role is in this world, right?
Yeah.
For me, you know, from Tahoe to today, right? SharePoint. Where does SharePoint fit in? It's literally the OG, right? Where does that fit in? Now, I don't want to talk about Viva Connections. I just want to talk about SharePoint in the context of SharePoint. Okay. So not Surface inside of Teams, just SharePoint.
Yeah. So SharePoint is still the workhorse, right? That's where you get the real work done. So you've got structured information you need to deal with, whether that's documentation or whatever information you have and you need, right? That you have a real plan for and you're making a conscious effort as an organization to communicate, that's in SharePoint, right? You're making news stories, you're setting up the document libraries, the team sites for people to have the stuff they need where they need it, in a way that they can actually find it.
The Teams sites, right? Not the capital T.
No, yes. A team site, not a Teams site. Because Teams
site,
also right? have Team sites, which
it's a Teams
irritates team site, me. Right? Yes, but then it wants to do the permissions itself and it just gets messy. But that's sort of a separate thing, right? I also don't think you should reuse those Teams sites as the SharePoint site for that team.
A team site is not a team site in SharePoint.
Yeah, you can do that, but I think it causes more problems than it's worth. I think you want a separate thing that does the structured stuff, and you let Teams handle the unstructured stuff, and that's fine. SharePoint is for where the real work happens, right? I think some of that is also because most organizations, right, we're talking about effective communication. Most organizations do not have a communication strategy, really. They have an HR department that also does comms, is generally how it sort of ends up working. So if that's the case, they're not people who have a strategy of here's what we're using and how we're using it. Then you've got to be very selective. And if you're being selective and you're only really picking if you're picking one or two, you're probably using SharePoint and email, right? I think are probably the most powerful and the most likely to reach people because they're using it already. if that makes sense.
I want to add this right there. Here we go. Just, we're going to let it run for a little bit, right? So that people actually understand it, those that are watching. SharePoint, you're building your intranets, your extranets inside of SharePoint, and it's very document-centric. Although Mark Cashman, and I keep on giving him a shout out because one day he'll be a guest on our show, so hopefully he's listening to this. Mark Cashman is driving the list brigade, the hype train behind Microsoft Lists, which has been supersized, and now even more supersized with the new list UI.
That's great.
Which I'm quite excited about. I mean, that's how we used to roll it all.
The Microsoft Lists function in SharePoint, the list function, is great. Like, you should not have stuff in Excel spreadsheets anymore. Like, there's no point.
Oh, no. What did you say the last time? There we go.
Excel is not a database.
Yeah, something more professional than Excel.
I'm not wrong.
So when I look at SharePoint, it's still very traditional in its manifestations, and I'm not talking about what people are doing with sharing and OneDrive. I'm just talking about SharePoint. It is your intranet, right? It literally starts off being your intranet. And, you know, just a segue to what was it? I think it was a month ago show, right, when we actually talked about, you know, are intranets still valid in 2024? And funnily enough, I found this article, right, that talks about the top 8 trends shaping the future of intranets in 2024. So more personalization. We're seeing a lot of that coming from the functions inside with news and audiencing, because we love audiencing, right? Customizable stuff. And we're also seeing that in Viva connections. The real Viva connections, not the SharePoint Viva connections. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, accessible Microsoft 365, it's still there, right?
Yeah.
The fact that they have to call this out means that people are still building intranets that's not inside of SharePoint Online or Microsoft 365, and it's sitting behind a firewall in a building, right? Bizarre. Yeah,
that's still a thing.
Social collaboration, and this is the thing, right? Because we still call intranets inside of SharePoint, but the minute you add the word social, it goes into Viva Engage. So again, we're seeing this overlay of products that's supposed to do a thing, right? User experience, not new. So it's not a trend. Knowledge sharing, not new. Unless there are products out there that don't do this modeling, and I'll be surprised.
I mean, there are.
I won't be surprised if they don't provide this. Things like Documentum don't, right? And I don't want to rip off legacy ECM platform that a certain company owns. And then, look at that, man. AI. Of course, AI is everywhere.
Of course, yeah. It's in everything. It's like sand at the beach.
When we look at what these things actually look like, right? You know, strengthening culture, down to self-service intranets, which is bizarre, but, you know, Microsoft promotes using templates, and you can put some structure behind that. So if HR runs their own intranet because it's a massive organization, they can have that. And funnily enough, Viva Connection supports up to 10 home pages. 10.
I didn't know that.
That's why I'm here, Modlin. I'm here all week. Tip your waiter, rate my service on Yelp, please. So when we look at SharePoint, it's still very traditional in its manifestation. You get pages, you get sites, and then you get libraries and lists and a whole bunch of apps. And just a top tip, as soon as you deploy an app inside of Teams, inside of SharePoint, make sure that it's registered somewhere inside of Entra ID and make sure that the permission models are right. Otherwise, you'll get into shit when it comes to security issues like Midnight Blizzard. So SharePoint's still very traditional, right? Yes, it's the underlying structure for your OneDrive, which most people don't know. They just think OneDrive's this cool thing. No, the only OneDrive of OneDrive is the sync client. Everything else is SharePoint. And
basically
for Microsoft people that listen, we hope they do, can you please ask OneDrive and SharePoint and Windows to have a conversation so that we can have metadata in File Explorer with the OneDrive thing. Please, this is me pleading with you
to
provide this functionality. Please, I'm begging you. We've heard about this. We've spoken about this on Twitter last week or this week. Please make it a reality. Metadata in File Explorer.
That would be like, that's like the holy grail, man. if you could get people it to would capture be the Holy Grail, right? In their file explorer.
People that live in File Explorer, they can work with metadata. And then moving on to the other parts, right? And we are burning daylight, right? The other parts, you know, and Rod, you were saying it earlier on that, you know, Viva kind of brings these things together. And Viva Connection specifically, 2.0, version 2.0, not version 1.0, which was just surfacing your intranet as a single page inside of Teams.
Yeah.
2.0 is giving you that, you know, that measure of customization, and it's targeted towards you because there's things you can move around on the page and you can get the information that you're interested in right there, right? Right there. I've got a customer that I spoke to today that uses news posts across multiple site collections that's, you know, attributed connected to a hub. So
yeah,
they flag now at the site pages level to display, because you can filter on a news web part, right? Where you can filter based on a column on a managed property. I only want to display things that have a label called top news in the root hub site, the hub site's news web part, right? Because you can say and bring all associated, and then you can order it. So it's quite a cool concept. But when we look at Viva, right? Not all up. I want to talk about three products in Viva. Going back to Viva Connections is a product.
Yeah.
You know, although it surfaces things, it's more of a wrapper like Teams is. And then obviously Viva Engage and Viva Amplify. So Engage, Madeline, have you actually used Yammer in your life?
Briefly. I'm on the fence of how useful corporate social platforms are. I think it takes a lot of effort on the organization's part to make it really work, right? I think it takes a lot of effort, and I don't think a lot of people are willing to put in that effort. I think that's the last piece you do of a communication strategy. I think you get everything else right, and then you start building up the social. Because if you have like three people in your organization using the social tools, it fails, right? Social media platforms need a constant flow of content, or it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely something that needs to be looked at. But I do see, you're going to need an effective enterprise social communication strategy, right? To drive enterprise social. Communities of practice, you know, it's all about communities, like-minded individuals. It doesn't necessarily have to be about work topics. It could be that inside of your organization, you've got a bunch of cyclists and they've got a cyclist community. You can also use that platform for more informal communication from middle senior management and your C-levels, right? There's the leadership corner functionality in there, and you can bring it all together. And it's all, again, surfaced in Teams, right? It's literally surfaced in Teams. Yes, it's surfaced in Teams. I was thinking about the multiple uses of Viva Connections, and then you've got Engage, and you can bring that all together, right? Now, what I do like about the last part of our deep dive is what the promise of Viva Amplify, right? Now, Amplify is around campaign management, and you can use Amplify to communicate, and you talk about it. There's consumers and producers of information, right?
So,
you know, it sits with HR and marketing, right? They want to get information, collateral, whatever, you know, out to the organization. And this is where Outlook comes in, right? And also, you know, I think we spoke about the news digest email template that's available for a news post in SharePoint.
Yeah.
So what Amplify allows you to do is to create templates and campaigns and then drive that and publish that to Teams, to Viva Engage, to SharePoint.
To Outlook, well, send the notification.
And to Outlook, the latest one was, you know, the integration into Teams, so you can actually broadcast, because it's really about broadcasting.
Yeah.
So, wrapping up the deep dive, I think too many customers want one, you know, a silver bullet, right? And I remember having slides in one of my decks that talked about it's not just a silver bullet, right? And what are our takeaways? What is the one takeaway for people listening after we've spoken about Teams, SharePoint, Viva, Outlook, because Amplify will publish and News Post will publish to Outlook. So what you said earlier on, taking information to where people work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big takeaway for me around this effective communication discussion, right, is that the tools are there, right, to do this really, really well in Office 365. But like you say, it's not a silver bullet, right? You're not going to flip a switch and suddenly solve all your problems. It's a bunch of work and takes thought and effort, right? You need a proper strategy, and then you can implement that strategy using the tools in O365, which are amazing.
Yeah. The question's still out when to use what. Now that people know that they can go to adoption.microsoft.com to understand the capabilities from an end user perspective around what these tools do, I think organizations are in a much better position to understand when to use what, because all the panel beating and the plumbing on the back end's been sorted. You know, we didn't know what a group was, and now we don't even care about that, right? It just works.
Doesn't matter.
So I'm quite excited for the future of collaboration and communication inside of Microsoft 365. I'm excited about Viva Amplify because I think that's a great communication strategy. It's not been there. And I think that is actually going to accelerate the usage of Teams. Well, not so much Teams, but, you know, SharePoint, Viva, Engage.
Yeah, and the whole suite, Teams. Right? That's what it is. You've got all these tools. So now we've got Viva Amplify that can bring those all together into a cohesive campaign, right?
Yes, you just need to do that. That's it. Oh, Viva Amplify, your cohesive campaign management tool for Microsoft.
Viva Amplify Viva. Also, Microsoft, can you stop using the same name for multiple different products? My God.
Is that into our next segue? Well, we're done with the deep dive, right? We're done with the deep dive.
I think that's it for the deep dive. As you say, we are in daylight.
I don't have a video for noteworthy things, Martin.
No,
I will have it in the next episode, but I don't have an intro reel for noteworthy things. Speaking about noteworthy things,
yes,
this is a bit of a segue. Yeah. Of course, there's Copilot, right? It's like Warren with Kubernetes. Every time he presents, he'll drop Kubernetes in there, right? But if we look at this, right, how to get ready for Copilot for Microsoft 365. Don't read this. Listen to the show. Fix your beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep, beep. Information architecture. Thank you. Mic drop.
Yeah. Peace out. Turns out, as with everything, like, your data needs to be clean. Same thing. Your infrastructure needs to be clean if you want to be using all this stuff to its fullest.
So here's a great article, and Jeremy Chapman actually takes you through the video on what this looks like. I don't care about security yet. I care about information architecture. If there's no structure, Copilot ain't worth shit. So go fix your information architecture before we even talk about anything else.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's my noteworthy things for this week, this episode. And then what?
You want to talk about the best conference in the world?
I do want to talk. It is a noteworthy things, but we've got quite a few events we want to cover as well. So for those that are interested in Microsoft 365 that live in America, even though you don't, you can travel there. I'm traveling there. But, you know, the Microsoft 365 Community Conference is literally the biggest Microsoft 365 conference in North America. Compared to the other community conferences run by Edison Friends in Wiesbaden this year, and I will be getting out to Germany. This one, come along, people. Show up. Have a look at it. We're back to normal in-person events. I'm excited about going. It's what the old SharePoint conference used to be when they launched it in Anaheim more than a decade ago. So come along to Orlando. Come spend some time with industry experts and everyone else. And the attendee celebration party is at Universal Studios.
Man, one day when I'm big.
Moving on. Some other noteworthy events. Microsoft Build this year is from May 21 to 23 in Seattle and online. Obviously, it's hybrid. And I think all of the Microsoft events are actually going to be run in Seattle, strangely enough. We've also got local builds, right? And it's all about, once again, AI, right? So you can head over and we'll put the links in the description of the show. where you can actually register for an AI day on the 15th of March in Cape Town, and then obviously on the 18th of March. And that's beautiful, right? Capetonians on a Friday, Joburg is on a Monday. So it's quite cool. There's a whole bunch of things they're covering around, you know, stuff like Copilot Studio and all the cool AI stuff. Please register, show up. I'm very excited. I'll be in Cape Town, and I'd love to see you. Another noteworthy thing before we hand over to Rod is there's a SharePoint Embedded Developer Summit happening in Seattle, right? So bumper 2 days worth of, you know, March 20, that's really close, 26th and 27th. For those that are looking for a headless ECM system to replace all the legacy ECM systems like Documentum and all the other ones that are older than I am, which is a lie, you can actually head over to Redmond, and please, registrations, if you go to aka
the link dot in the MS, description.
Yeah, there will be a link in the description, and you can actually learn more about Embedded, yeah, and go have a look there. And I think that's it for me, Mr. Modlin. That is cool. It for me.
Sweet. Before we get on to my go with the flow, one more event happening. 2nd of March is the Power Platform Global Bootcamp Johannesburg. So it's both global and Johannesburg. It's on the 2nd of March. It's at Microsoft in Joburg. Go register if there's still space. It's going to be fun. I'm speaking. I'm going to talk about how you do task management properly in Power Platform, according to me, at least. So come laugh at me. Tell me I'm wrong. And that's going to be fun.
Like the World Series, right? The World Series of Baseball.
Yeah, the World Series of Baseball. Yeah, World Champs. Sure, bro. You're world champion when you're the only one who competed. Yeah. Same as the universe, right? I'm going to have to come up with my own video to give you to play with my go with the flow. So my go with the flow is, if you are new to Power Platform, you want to get into Power Platform, what is this thing? How does it go? Microsoft has a bunch of content for that. They've recently done some new stuff around structured video tutorials for the Power Platform. It's called the Power Up Program. Very cool. You go to aka.ms/powerup. And there's a bunch of content there, which is very cool. And they are running like app in a day, workshops, and all sorts of things all over the place. So go check that out. There's some really useful content in there. And that's awesome. My go with the flow tip.
Fantastic, man. Fantastic.
Yeah. So I think that's it for us, Alistair.
We are done. Thanks, everyone. Oh, sorry, this is not my part, and it's not in the show notes. So where's the thanks, everyone? We need to do this correctly, right? So I'm going to hand it back. It's back to the studio, Darren.
Well, thank you, Alistair. Thank you also very much for joining us here on YouTube or on your podcast app of choice, wherever it happens to be. If you want to find the rest of the stuff we do online, you can find the podcast. We've got a website, twoguysinsharepoint.co.za. The podcast is also on Twitter at twoguyssharepoint. I'm on Twitter at oddmodlin. Alistair is?
At Alistair Pugin.
And we'll see you all in the next episode in 2 weeks. Thank you for joining us. Have fun.
Ciao, ciao.
Hey.